should have moved. Let me just stop that.
Okay, good evening. We continue in the Shari Tshuva around the fifth principle called Da'aga, worrying. And Rabbeinu Yonah is going to tell us there's three things a person should worry about in this fifth step of doing Tshuva. And he already mentioned person should concern himself and worry himself over the punishments he will still get for the kapara, for the averas he's done, even after he has done the Tshuva. So he has to concern himself with that. So, he's going to explain, we're on page 22 and 23, or second last line, and he's going to explain the difference between da'aga and yogon. Yogon, we translated as concern or worry, and that was the third one. And da'aga also seems to mean worrying. So, again, better translation, yogon is anxiety, anguish. Da'aga is worrying, and the basic difference between the two is that yagon is an emotion that deals with the past, while da'aga is an emotion that looks into the future. In other words, when a person's in the state of yagon, he doesn't have to face tomorrow. Rather, he's looking at what's happened, and in its isolated state of what has happened, there's a tremendous amount of anxiety and anguish over what's happened. It's, how could I have done that? How could I have been so insensitive? How could I have messed things up this way? Da'aga is the same emotion of yagon, but it directs it towards something that you might do in the future, perhaps to make things better, but it's a concern about the future. And da'aga, therefore, is the counterpart of yagon, but it's directed towards the future. What's going to happen now from the go forward in terms of what concerns the person has? And that's the main difference. So it's more facing the future as opposed to looking at the present, looking back on the past mistakes and feeling terrible right now, not even thinking in the future, while Dog is focusing on the future. So one of the focuses is he's afraid he's going to get punished. That's a focus on the future. Let's say a businessman, he makes some very bad choices, loses a lot of money. So, charata would be over the bad choices. How could I have believed that con man who sold me that real estate in Florida? How could I have fallen for that oldest trick in the book? That's da'aga. Yogain is, I lost $20 million, and I don't know what's going to be now. I'm feeling terrible. The dog is, I don't even know if I could ever be a businessman again. I'm not gonna get any credit. There's probably gonna be more creditors coming after me. My marriage is gonna fall apart because my wife only loved me for my money. And how am I gonna make things go, happen in that? That's focusing to the future. Trying to figure, I'm never gonna get credit anymore. I'll never be able to open up another business. So that would be dog. So now, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to give us another two aspects of da'aga. He says, first he's going to say this line I already told you. The inyan ha-yagon al sha'avar, the concept of yagon is on the past. The inyan ha-da'aga al-asid, and da'aga is on the future. Ve'od she'ni sidak. And what's the second thing he has to concern himself with? We're turning now to page 24 and 25. Ulayu mikatzer bechovas hatshuva b'tzar ubemerirus uvetzom ubebechi. And perhaps he has fallen short in terms of his obligations of tshuva, in terms of pain, bitterness, fasting, crying. Maybe I haven't done enough tshuva. I did not fulfill the deepest commitment of returning to Hashem. In other words, a person can sometimes have a very authentic motivation for doing tshuva, but it may not be an all-encompassing tshuva that he actually did. And if it's not all-encompassing, so things are going to be left out. So my da'aga should be that although I am returning and I recognize my mistake, but have I brought together everything that was involved in the negative? Have I brought it all together in a positive direction? Have I turned it around, as it were? Or is it conceivable that I still am, I've left out some of the aspects of return? So, in other words, a person would say that, yes, I did something wrong, but it wasn't so terrible because of X, Y, and Z. It's wrong, and I won't do it again, but the way I look at it is it's not that bad. So, you have to bear in mind, when I did, I was really hungry, and after all the environment I grew up in, and after all everybody's been doing it, and I don't even know if it's really that awesome, etc., etc. So, of course, a person, does have a tendency to minimize an avera, even if he isn't dismissing it, but he will tend to minimize it. And therefore, the amount of tshuva will be minimized as well. So now, to a certain degree, it may be valid. Now, it could be, let's say, you do take those reasons into consideration. Maybe there were some valid reasons that should be taken into consideration. But a person should never minimize what was done below the point of your active participation and having done it to begin with. So there's a fine line that you don't make it more than it is, but you don't minimize it either. So a person will, if he would minimize the extent of his sin, then ultimately he's not going to really be the proper amount of tshuva won't get done either. And since the whole idea of tshuva is rebuilding the person, so he has to measure the tshuva out that to the degree that you went away, to that degree you have to come back. So the other factor is, have I minimized in my own eyes to the point that I haven't really responded in the way that I should have responded to what I've done in that aver. So the level of purity that is gained has to match the level of involvement that you're in before, and if you minimize it, then you won't be doing the proper amount of tshuva. So similar to a concept when a person brings a korban, certain korbanos, animal offerings that were brought, one is called the ashram tolui. An ashram tolui was when a person isn't sure if he did the aver or not. He ate a piece of meat, wasn't sure if it was treif or was kosher. So be on the safe side, you bring a korban. So that suspends whatever bad that might have happened, until he finds out for sure if he did something wrong or not. So, what the Gemara says is, the tshuva for a doubtful thing is much more difficult than when you clearly know you did something wrong. So as long as it's in the realm of doubt, he can't, well up inside of himself enough of the emotional involvement necessary to do a proper tshuva. Because after all is said and done, who says that he even did it? That's the idea of the ashram toli when he's not sure. So that's the same thing over here. If you're minimizing what you've done, and that's what the concern is over here. So da'aga is a person putting himself in the situation of always critically analyzing the situation. You have to ask yourself, have I minimized this for myself? Have I brought it down to a level that I don't feel so bad, so much about it, and I still feel comfortable with it? Because, I said I did something wrong, I won't do it again, but you might not be doing deepest tshuva necessary. So that's different than the first one. The first one is, we said yesterday, is, you should be concerned that you may get punished as part of the cleansing process, and you want to have enough inside you to withstand the suffering, and it shouldn't take you down. Now we're saying you may not have done the proper tshuva. And that, that itself isn't good. Now, so he's going to continue. Yes, sir.
How do we go about dealing with Ashram Tolui today? We don't have the program. And if we do something, but we're not sure if we did the Avera or not.
Well, first of all, one H they always say is you should always read the Parsha of the Korban from the Chumash. Even if you did an Avera, let's say you did a Chatas. Let's say you turned on a light switch by mistake on Shabbos. You should read the Parsha of Korban Chatas. You should read the Torah section that deals with Korban Chatas. You should read the Torah section that deals with the Ashram Tolui. The Torah tells you where, it's all in the Korbanos there. It gives you all that list. And those, you should say it. If you really would have had to bring Korban, you should say it. Yes.
Are we saying the one doesn't know whether what they did was Nevera?
I was just giving that as an example. When you bring in Ashram Tolui, it's very hard to do real good tshuva on it because you're not sure if he did the averas. I was using this as an analogy, as an example, but here you know you did an avera. The question is, have I done enough tshuva, parallel to the amount of sin that was involved?
Commensurate.
Commensurate, that's the word. Has done commensurate with the amount that was involved. Just we gave the analogy in the beginning. If you get a shirt dirty, depending on how dirty you get it, that's how much bleach you gotta put in. Have I put in enough bleach? Have I really gone through all the steps properly? Do I have a real deep regret? Is a real deep yagon? You know, the Rambam says the ultimate point of tshuva is what? If Hashem will testify that you're not gonna do it again. Right? So, you know, the question is like, why do you need God to testify if he's gonna do it again? Let's wait and see if he does it. Why is the Rambam gotta say that God's gonna testify that you won't do it again? Let's just see if the guy's gonna do it again. So one answer, Sam, is correct, is who knows if he'll ever be in that situation again. Right? And maybe it could be, you know, that maybe right now you wouldn't do it again, but maybe 10 years ago you might do it. You know, let's say now you won't do it again. If the same situation happens, you will not do it again. And you won't do it again for the next 5 years. But then guess what happens? You slipped down a little bit, your level slipped, and then 10 years from now you do it again. So, does that mean that the original tshuva wasn't a good tshuva? Isn't it possible you did a tshuva, everything's, you know, like a alcoholic. Right? Alcoholic. So what's tshuva for an alcoholic? He'll never drink again. Right? So according to the Rambam, if he'll be in the same situation, will he drink or not? Right? So let's say he's been clean for 10 years. He's gone to bars, he's been to simchas, he's been to bar mitzvahs, and he just doesn't drink. Right? So now, 10 years later, he drinks. Right? So you're gonna say that it's the old alcoholism? Or maybe, listen, what brought him to drink the first time? There was a first time when he wasn't alcoholic. And you see, he's been away from it for 10 years. So maybe new things have come in, new tests have come in. So it could be the tshuva was a good tshuva. So to that, the Rambam's saying, God has to testify. In other words, if you're gonna go with just the simple meaning, if he does it again, that means for 10 years he's been in a state of not tshuva. You know, and what did the Rabbeinu Yonah say? A person has done tshuva, Hashem gets very upset with that person. So what are we gonna say? It's not necessarily so. Maybe he did a good tshuva. Right? But now, he fell into a new, the Yetzer came with a new plan to get him to sin in the same way. The first time he was a drunkard is because he had trouble with parnasa. So he cured himself and he's working and everything's fine. And then he got a whole new problem that he just isn't ready to handle and he fell back into that. So, I mean, I'm sure the psychologists would have a field day on trying to analyze. Was he cured? Was he not cured? I know they like to say that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I don't know if that's necessarily true according to Torah view. I mean, if it's a long time, the person stopped. But clearly, you should be concerned, have I really cleansed myself from this Avera or not? To the degree that I haven't, it's to that degree I'm distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
I would just suggest the other side of the same coin is basically that you want the tshuva to be successful now and not wait 10 years.
Of course.
If Hashem will testify, then you're clean at that point, not
right. Later. So your concern is everything okay now? Am I where I should be? Am I spiritually healthy or not? And a lot of times we don't know. We don't know. And a lot of times even people who know us don't know. You can't, you know, can somebody say, oh, I'm sure you're never going to do it. So that's that concern. All right. And we'll see it dovetails into the third one that's coming up. So you'll see the third one dovetails the second one.
You may not want to answer this question, but.
Yeah.
Because I think we've dealt with this before. I mean, if you do an Avera in a year and you do tshuva on that, do you have to do tshuva in subsequent years as well? Or can you feel comfortable that you took care of it?
If you did what?
If an Avera was done this year,
yeah,
and you do a full tshuva, then next Rosh Hashanah comes along, do you have to revisit that Avera?
Right, that's a whole discussion.
Yeah.
It's a whole discussion. I mean,
you've grown.
If you, you know, it depends. Depends if you have a new perspective.
I mean,
if you've grown to the point of that, you know what, looking back, I don't know if I've done, I didn't realize how bad the Avera was, and I have to add some steps of tshuva, which can always be another thing to add on that. And we'll see, he doesn't say that exactly here, but he's going to say things that are close to that.
The reason I'm asking at this point is we're saying if Hashem testifies you're not going to repeat it, then that seems to mean that you don't need to revisit that sin. Right.
That's right. We'll never know until after 120 years. Then he'll tell us how clean we were. All right, so let's continue. Now, and he adds, he says, Vahagam, second line, Vahagam ki hir batzar v'hir babecha, even though he really suffered a lot, he cried a lot, Yitzchol v'yira ulai l'umaseh hir bashva, but he should be very concerned, you know, as much as I cried, you know, my sin could even be bigger than that. You know, I did a lot, I cried a lot, and I really was remorseful, and I felt terrible, and I fasted 50 fasts, and this and that, and all these things. But on the other hand, you know, the sin isn't so small either. So even though I did a lot of tshuva, the avera can be even bigger than that. So you're concerned about that. And therefore, maybe he did not. Could be he didn't finish enough with all the infliction of pains and all the crying that he did. It might not be commensurate to the level of the sin that he did. Now, if a person would reflect on the tremendous things that Hashem has done for his creations, right, and therefore what man's duty is to his creator, if you really think what your duty is to the creator, and there's no end to how bad that rebellion was of what you did now, Yosef, Bavoda, Tshuva, no matter what you're going to increase in terms of service Hashem and finding a pathway of tshuva, hello mitzorhi, it's still not enough. It's minimal. And he would consider it small in his eyes. Right? Because I did a lot of tshuva, but it's so small compared to what I had to do. So how does a person push himself to this kind of level of da'aga? You know, of worrying that maybe I haven't fulfilled what I have to fulfill. So what we're trying to bring out over here is, you know, when you read this, you might start thinking that the concept of the da'aga is based on pessimism. That you have neuroses. Okay, which can maybe not be so healthy. Right? Person may start thinking, you know, I never do anything right. So maybe I'm not doing my tshuva right either. And I never really did a good tshuva. And, you know, there's up all night. Did I do a good tshuva? Did I not do a good tshuva? So, you know, this is more than this. Da'aga is based upon, number one, understanding how much Hashem does for me. And number two, and with the things that God does for me, I turned against Him. Right? So God blessed me with health and money and resources. And those very things that He gave me, I used them against the way God wanted me to use them for. So when a person analyzes that everything which he does is with the blessings that Hashem gives him, so like I'm living on his license and doing things against him. So from that perspective, that's a major ingredient in da'aga. So the foundation of da'aga is really the concern that maybe my returning is not to the degree of what my understanding should be. And I have to question what my understanding is. What I did in tshuva was good. But it could be I have to do more. Could be I have to do more. Okay, now he's going to bring some psukim to prove this. V'yomar Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom, and King Solomon said, Chacham Yarei, a Chacham is concerned, he's afraid, V'sor Meira, and he turns away from evil. So, what is that? So the Rabbeinu Yonah puts in a little in between the line to make it fit. Be'uro, what does that mean? Hechacham, the wise man, now he's going to say, afal pi, even though, he adds in an afal pi, even though, shehu sor meira, b'chol mamatzei koach, even though he's staying away from evil now with all his strengths, but still yira, he's still afraid, v'yisrael, he trembles, ulai lo chila chuka v'lo nizar kedos malasos, maybe he didn't fulfill his obligation and be as careful as he could have been. So therefore, he reads the pasuk Chacham Yorei. The Chacham is concerned. Afal pi v'sor meira. Even though he already went away from the evil, he is still concerned. That's how he's explaining the pasuk over there. So he's interjecting an afal pi, and even though, and he's going to show you other psukim in which he does the same thing. You see, the Torah does the same thing. V'chamo, and similarly in Mishle, we have a verse Me'ikesh derachayim v'hu ashir. A person can be stubborn and he's rich. the way it's translated there as well. Afal pishoshir, even though he's rich, he's stubborn. So another example, we're inserting an afalpi. And so did the rabbis of blessed memory say it explicitly in the Medrash Tanchuma, al tefarish, don't explain it as chacham yorei v'sor meira. Don't learn it as step one is the chacham's afraid, and step two, he stays away from evil. No, read it, el chacham sor meira v'yorei. The chacham is staying away from evil and is still afraid. And how do we know that that's what the pasuk means? V'sofa pasuk mochiach alav. The end of the pasuk proves it, because he brings the opposite. He says, u'kisil, and the fool, misaber, gets angry, u'boteach, and he's still confident. That's the opposite. Omar al-midas haksil, he shows the attribute of the fool. Shibahevach minas hacham, it's the opposite of the attribute of the wise man. Ki haksil misaber, the fool gets angry, v'im calls os, and still in all, boteach, shalwa yikro avon v'nezek. And he's still very secure that nothing bad's gonna happen to him. So that's the same, it's the opposite. The wicked man sins, and he's not worried. The tzaddik is doing tshuva, and he's still worried. So that's why he's saying that the pasuk fits into that. Right? Good. Ubal hakas, and he explains how foolish that is for the foolish person. Ubal hakas, a person gets angry, he's very prone to sins, and is leaving himself open for all kinds of things to damage others. Shinemer, the pasuk says in Mishle, Ubal chema rav pasha, an angry person has a lot of sins. Venemer, ir perutza in choma, like an open city that's not walled in. Isha sheri matzar lucho, can't control his temper. Okay, fine. That's just psukim to prove this point. Okay, Yud Zayin is going to give us now the third thing to have da'aga for. So the first da'aga was, maybe I'm going to have to suffer still from this. Number two is, maybe I've done tshuva commensurate with the level of sin that I've done. And number three is now, va'od yidag bal tshuva, pen yiskaber lo yitzro. The Baal Tshuva has to concern himself that the game with the Yetzer isn't over yet. Yetzer may come back again to visit him a second time. Kimo she'amru zichron l'avrachav, as our rabbis of blessed memory have taught us, al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yom miso. A person should not trust himself, mosach, until the day of your death. He said, oh, never trust yourself, never be sure of yourself. They tell the story of Chaim Vital, was on his deathbed, and his students asked him, the great Kabbalist of Chaim Vital, he says, at what point does the Yetzer Hara leave a person? I mean, you're dying. Like, maybe he's left by now. Maybe he's left by now. So it's interesting, even though we learned from the Pius Etzner, if you remember, when he said, Zachor es yom moscha, remember the day of death, because the day of death, at least at that, no, you're still alive, but the powers right. Of the Yetzer Hara are weakening.
Significantly.
But Rav Chaim Vital, as the story goes, he says, you know, so in other words, they're saying, do you still have a Yetzer Hara now? You're on your deathbed? He says, definitely.
It's going to be proportional to your strength.
He says, definitely. Yes. So they said to him, Rebbe, what kind of Yetzer Hara can you have at this point? I mean, you're dying. You know, you're not, what kind of Yetzer Hara can you have? So he said, the Yetzer Hara is telling me that, you know, before you die, you say Shema, right? So Yetzer is telling me to say Shema out loud so that everyone will think I'm a big tzaddik.
Wow.
Right? So that even to the end, that, let them think I'm dying as a righteous tzaddik. That's really Geneva Das. You're fooling, you're misleading people even at that point. So even when you die, you know, it's possible. Or, you know, they tell these famous stories. I remember this guy once told us a story. I read it later. There were two people who were like, two ladies who were really, really having fights, and it was a long-standing feud. And then this lady, one of the combatants was dying. So the other one said, you know, I'll come and say goodbye to her, you know, after all. So she comes to visit, and the lady says, come closer, come closer. So she comes really close, close. She comes really close, and then the sick lady bites her ear. Or like Alexander Holyfield, I don't know who the other guy. Mike Tyson, the face. Right? Bites her nose, bites her ear, face. Even to the end. Gotta get one in before the end. So, in other words, can't trust the HR even until the day you die. You don't know. Right? What's the point? You know, all of life is a struggle towards development. And every moment of life affords the person levels of struggle for that development. So every moment of life is a moment of opportunity, and that's ad yom moscha. Until the day you die. Until the day you die, there's what to struggle with. Clearly, we have the same issue over here. And more so, as he now continues, two lines from the bottom. Kol shekeno isha sher nitzcho yitzro kvar. Certainly a person whose yates already beat him once. Ki roi li shomer min yetzer hara v'chaleis. Person is, it's worthy for him to be on guard from the yetzer hara who sits in ambush at all times. Ulahosif v'nasho, next page, yiras Hashem yom yom, and to add into himself fear of God on a daily basis. V'tiyelo lema'oz, and that should be for him for a fortress, this building up his yiras Shemayim. Bavor alav kol mishpra yetzer, when all the waves of the yetzer come crashing in on you, hamischadish lasid, that will come new in the future. Well, for example, the Midrash says that the yetzer has seven different names. Seven different names to apply. Every name is a different dimension or tactic of the work of the Yetzer Hara and how he approaches a person in terms of trying to convince the person of Avera. So for example, one of the names of the Yetzer Hara is Matzponi, from the word Tzafun, which means hidden. So the hidden approach. So the Medrash gives an example of the hidden approach of the Yetzer Hara. So a story of a baker who's got his big trays of bagels, chfeis, and the sleeping dog, right? And so the baker is, oh, the dog's asleep. So he takes his big tray, and then the dog, you know, he catches him off guard and flips over the whole thing and chops some bagels and the whole thing. So what's that analogous to? That's right. So sometimes the Yetzer lies low, giving you the appearance of being asleep in order to catch you off guard. Let's say the Yetzer Hara, you know, helps you with your short fuse, you know. And then what happens, the Yetzer just leaves you alone for a couple days. And then you mistakenly think, oh, Baruch Hashem, I've been able to control my Yetzer Hara. No, the Yetzer Hara just hasn't brought anybody to get you upset in the last couple days. Or he's kept you so busy with other things, you don't have time to get upset about anything. So it makes it look like he's asleep, catch you off guard. So what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, he's cautioning us to remain alert. And don't be confused by saying to yourself, you know, that and you should say, you know, I don't know if I've really cured myself from this problem. You know, now, alert means it could happen again. Again, we're not questioning or invalidating the tshuva. Could be you did a good tshuva. It's possible you did a good tshuva, but very often the problem of tshuva is the fact that we repeat the crime even after we've made the correction. And then we start beginning to doubt our ability to do tshuva. Now, not always, you know, the repeat offender is because the tshuva originally wasn't authentic. That's what we're saying. It's not always the rule. The fact you'll make the same mistake another time does not necessarily mean that tshuva was not a good tshuva. So the component of tshuva we're talking about here is, even if you've done a good tshuva, let's say we don't have to worry about the second concern, is to be alert and aware of the possibility of it repeating itself in the future. And without that alertness, you can fall again. And it could happen for all kinds of reasons. You know, you know, society evolves in time, and you don't realize how things are getting worse and the environment's getting worse. And you don't even realize things are a lot worse than they were 5 years ago, and you have much more things to contend with than you did, that you contended with these things years ago, but now it's a whole new generation of Yetzer Haras. And you could have been just sitting in the environment not realizing how it is beginning to take you over. And then, boom, the Yetzer Hara, when you're off guard, gives it to you. So it could be your first shuva was fine, but he's saying, no, you've got to keep focusing and keep growing, as he's going to elaborate on this to go a little further. Now, I'm going to, for brevity's sake, Yud Ches, Rabbeinu Yonah, is going to bring many psukim that are going to prove that after the guts of tshuva have been accomplished, there are still parts of tshuva that exist post facto of the tshuva that are also necessary. But you know what? It's a lot of textual discussion, and I'm going to skip Yud Ches. It's not really adding a lot more to the information of tshuva. So Rabbeinu, with Mechilas Kvod, the Rabbeinu Yonah, we're going to skip Yud Ches. And those can read on their own the textual proofs. Yud Tes also brings another textual proof, but it's a lot simpler and quicker, so we'll do Yud Tes. He brings a pasuk that says, Umodev va'ozev yeruchum. person moda, he confesses, vozev, and leaves the sin, yiruchum, he'll obtain mercy. That's the first half of a pasuk. It's in Mishle. So what does that mean? What does it mean? Moda v'ozev yiruchum, perish. Af al pi, ki yisoras ha-tshuva shlosha. Even though the fundamental points of tshuva are three, which we said, hacharata v'havidui v'azivas achet, regret, confession, and leaving the sin. And so therefore, hacharata v'avidui, regret and vidui, that's bechlal moda. That's included in the first word of moda, to confess. Ki ha-mizvada mizchorek, and anybody who's confessing has to regret. So that's included in the first words. Ve'ein tshuva p'chusa m'shosh elin. You don't have tshuva less than that, right? And we got the ozev, the guy's left the sin. So now, ki ha-mizchorek u'mizvada ve'ein ozev chet, if a guy has regret and confesses and doesn't leave the sin, we already said, don't unleash a tol v'sheretz v'yodo. It's that guy went to the mikveh with the sheretz in his hands. She'll also feel the mikveh didn't help. So what do we got? Okay, motiv ozev yirachum. When we say the words motiv ozev, Hashem has mercy on him. He's got all three steps. He's just setting us up now. So he says, even though there's a lot of levels of tshuva, but still, at least we've got these three areas. So we got the basic tshuva. Notice he's just proving the first half of the pasuk is saying we have a bona fide part of tshuva. So now, immediately after these verses that deal with some of the most critical issues of tshuva, now the pasuk continues. And it's now going to bring us aspects of da'agah. Omar achrichein. Now, the next verse, it says, after you've done tshuva, it says, ashrei adam mefachei tamid. Fortune is a person who's always worried, who's always scared, he's afraid. Umak shalibo yipol bara, but the stubborn heart will fall into evil. This after the guy's done tshuva already. The pasuk clearly says, modav osev yeruchim. The guy's done the three steps of tshuva. Hashem will have compassion on him. And then after you've done it, says, oh, fortune's a guy who's still afraid. But the guy who has a hard, stubborn heart, he's going to fall. So what's going on? Perish explains. Even though he's confessed and he's left the sin and he's done the three principal parts of tshuva, he should constantly be afraid, worried, ulai lo hishlim cho katshuva, maybe hasn't fulfilled the entire level and the intensity of tshuva. Kitzrichel madregas rabbis, because it needs a lot of levels. The old safe omates bechol yom, and he should increase his strength every day. Lahasiga madregas, to reach higher levels of tshuva as he becomes more aware of what's necessary. Gam yivkad, he should also be concerned, ulai yischadish olav yisro, maybe his yetzer hara will renew itself. The shomer men rochaitz, and he has to watch it at all times. And here's the critical words. So what's he going to do? The Yosef Yiras Hashem b'nafsho tomid, and he should increase his fear of God constantly. So what does he mean with this extra line over here? So he's saying it doesn't mean that forever and ever the person dwells on the act that he does wrong. He's not saying to dwell on what you did wrong and still worry about it wrong. He's saying that what? He's saying, Yosef Yiras Hashem b'nafsho tamid. Person has to try to make himself more sensitive to sense Hashem. You have to increase your Yiras Hashem. That Hashem should be a stronger reality as I move along in my life. And that would be the best way of combating and being on guard against any particular weakness that you have. In other words, what you're involved with in this da'aga is I'm concerned the Yetzer will come back, and therefore I have to increase my Yiras Hashem. I don't have to increase and say, oh, I don't know if I did enough of a tshuva on that old Avera. No, let's even say you've done tshuva on that old Avera. But you still are required to increase your Yiras Hashem. In general, increase that Yiras Hashem. Why? So you know the Gemara says, Ein adam chote elim ke nichnas ba ruach shtus. Gemara says a person doesn't sin unless a spirit of insanity enters into him. A rational person doesn't do averis. You have to have a spirit of insanity will bring you to sin. That's what Gemara says.
Yeah.
Farish Gemara.
Sota.
3-8. Right? So what does that mean? When a person has a sense of clarity as to God, and there's a God in his life, it's impossible for a person to sin. if you really are clear that there's a God, and God is here, and he's sitting right next to us, the Bovavi wants to teach us, right? And his mom is sitting next to us. So it's not possible to sin, right? So how does a person sin? Obviously, that clarity was diminished at a given point in time. So at that particular point in time, he wasn't focused. And when you're not focused, you can do a crazy thing. That this is the real source of temporary insanity. This is what it really is. It's temporary insanity. You know, you're on guard most of the time, and then a little time you're not on guard, and boom, the itch just stops you in there. So a person who's concerned that he might make the mistake again, right, what is he going to tell himself? What's Rabbeinu Yonah saying over here? He's saying a person should try to learn that material that makes God a strong reality in your life every day, such as, let's say, learning the Bavli form or other form. But that's focusing, even if we haven't mastered it, but when we were learning it every day, I think we were more conscious of it, even if we, you know, we don't think we grew in it, but if every day you talk about it, so it filters in a bit through the day, and if you do exercises and things like that, it makes it a stronger reality. One second, Rafal. So in other words, to do the things you gotta do that makes Hashem closer to you. So once you do that, it becomes more difficult for that weakness to show itself up again. Why? Because it's not compatible with the God that's now in front of you, right? So it's not, you're not saying like this, I'm weak, and you go through all the details of what you did wrong in the past and how you did it wrong. That's not going to help the person. Once you've done the tshuva, really, you should put it behind you. And don't think about the avera. But you should think like this, but when did I do that avera? When my God consciousness wasn't strong. So one thing is really important, I should keep growing in that God consciousness, right? And that is what the Rabbeinu is saying. He says, V'yosef yiras Hashem b'nav shotamid. He has to have that consciousness of the fact that I did fail in the past because I must have not been conscious of God enough in the past. So you should try to bring yourself to a level of awareness in which it's going to be difficult to fail again. Now that's a positive approach, you see, as opposed to harping on a particular weakness. You know, I did it, I don't know how I did it 5 years ago, it was still terrible and I might still do it again. You know, that's already neurotic. It's not healthy. But if you want to keep growing in your under clarity of Hashem and make it stronger and stronger and stronger reality, that is certainly a very healthy thing to do. Yeah, I think Rafal was first.
Growing your Yiras Hashem, is that learning Torah? You were making reference to learning the Bavli book. But
it could happen in learning Torah too, but you got to do all the things that make you feel that Hashem is close with you. So it depends how you're learning the Torah, right? Right? The Bavli would certainly say, before you open up the Gemara, you have to say a little tefillah, mm-hmm. that Hashem, you should help me, that I'm learning this Torah to get close to you, and that I stay focused on getting closer to you as I'm learning the Torah.
But that creates the Yiras Hashem.
Then the learning could create the Yiras Hashem. But you could very well learn Torah even the Iyun and not have any Yiras Hashem. Right. Still, it's very possible. But you've got to sit down and say, why am I, you know, it's many times, okay, Hashem, I'm going to learn your Holy Torah. Why am I learning your Holy Torah? Because you told me to learn your Holy Torah. And if I learn this Holy Torah, it'll make me think, put myself on a holy wavelength, and I'll feel, and I get close to what your understanding of life is, and that will make me feel close to you. And now you learn it. Right? So then that will work too. But, you know, certainly, as he himself says, you do have to spend some time during the week on thinking about these things. So that's how you increase. You have to increase the Yiras Hashem, and that will help. That's part of the da'aga in terms of I'm concerned that I shouldn't do this aver again. So now how? By building up my Yiras Hashem. That will make sure I don't do that sin again.
Yeah. So for some people, it's a motivating factor to do that through Yiras Hashem, what you're saying here. But for a lot of people, it's more about Ahavat Hashem. So
Okay, you're asking, what about Avas Hashem? So when we're talking about Yiras Hashem, we're not talking about the fear that God's gonna punish me. We're talking about the Yiras Hashem from the word Yira, to see. To see. In other words, have a God consciousness. And he's really gonna talk about it in the next principle of tshuva. In other words, if the Chavetz Chaim was in this room right now, no matter how tired you are, you wouldn't be falling asleep in this class. You wouldn't, you know. I understand, you know, we're tired, it's just me, you know. Son, you see me every day. Every day, you know I like you, and I'm not gonna.
It's old hat.
You know, and you know, you've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning, and you know it's a little dim in here and things like that, and you fall asleep. Okay, you know, you might fall asleep, but if the Chavetz Chaim was in the room, you know, you never know. I always, you know, who knows? Maybe even people who learned with the Chavetz Chaim for years maybe also fell asleep on him too. I don't know. You know, who knows? But I'm just saying, or you certainly wouldn't talk Lashon Hara in front of the Chavetz Chaim. Okay, you know, Rabbi Yisrael Meir, I want to tell you about something about my rabbi. You know? What do you think? Think my rabbi did the right thing? You're going to do it. Right? Why? Because you have a consciousness. So if Hashem's consciousness is there, doesn't mean you're afraid of him. Doesn't mean you're afraid of the Chavetz Chaim. Like, how would you, you'd be embarrassed. How dare I say such a thing in front of the Chavetz Chaim? He wouldn't like it. And I don't think the Chavetz Chaim would punish you. He wouldn't take a stick and hit you, you know. So the same thing, if you have a consciousness of Hashem, you're just not going to do it. And that consciousness, hopefully, is a positive consciousness. You're thinking Hashem is here and how much Hashem loves me and he's taking care of everything I need and, you know, and he loves me so much. How could I even think to do the same Avera did 5 years ago, knowing that he's here and loving me so much? So it's not so much, you know, love and fear per se. It's the consciousness. Yira means to see, to be aware and conscious that God is here. And if you're aware that Hashem is here, you wouldn't do these averis again. And that's like so important, just keep that focus. And that's what your da'oga is, that I should be able to keep this God consciousness focused at all times. Yeah.
So this aspect seems different from the others and is much more forward-looking.
That's right. That's what we're saying. Da'oga is focused on the future.
But if you take that attitude, does that help with the tshuva for the past as well? In other words, if you say, from now on, I'm going to be more concerned about this coming back at me, does that show a greater weight to your concern about the affair that you did?
For sure. For sure. That's all. You just have to say, well, I did it and, you know, I hope I don't do it again. It's more than I hope I don't do it again. It's I really don't want to do it and I'm doing things to make sure it doesn't happen again. Okay, let's just finish quickly. Let's get to the bottom. We'll finish this before I shut at least the fifth prince. At least we're a quarter of the way through. You got to daven constantly to Hashem to help you with your tshuva lahatzilu miyishin, to save you from your yetzahara. Because the end of the pasuk says, "Umak shalibo yipol bara," but the hard-hearted person, even after he's done tshuva, will fall into evil. Meaning to say, "Haomer believer," the guy says in his heart, "For hishlamti chol tshuvas," I've already done as much tshuva as I need to do. And he doesn't make efforts to constantly reach higher levels of tshuva and to increase this yira, this consciousness of Hashem. I don't have to, it's enough. He'll be punished for this. He's beginning to be a little bit arrogant. You know, Baal tshuva has to worry about arrogance too. Oh, I'm a Baal tshuva. So I stand in the place where tzaddikim stand, right? He's arrogant. He is not aware of the weakness that's inside of him. He doesn't recognize how important it is for him to fix up his ways and make his ways more fitting with extra care before Hashem. He's not guarding himself from the Yetzirah who is constantly lying in ambush. Then he will fall into the hands of the Yetzirah. So a person can think that I went through the three basic principles of tshuva, I filled the order, now leave me alone, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And what he is saying is that person should have the daga of the three levels that we have mentioned. And if a Baal tshuva counters and say, I fulfilled the order already, and if you demand any more of me, that's not part of tshuva. You know, I don't have to be a saint. I don't have to be a chassid. I'm happy enough with just correcting my mistake. So Rabbi Yonah is saying it doesn't work that way. He says the formula is that if a person doesn't recognize the value and the importance that it has, that one has to constantly build on and build on and build on. So the truth is, the person doesn't really realize the danger he's in either. He really is in a danger to fall back in that. They're synonymous with each other. So if a person says, look, I took care of the problem, everything beyond that is chassidus, Rabbein Yonah is saying that's not the way. If the person doesn't push himself for deeper and deeper appreciation of returning, he'll ultimately, what he's doing is, he's defining his limitations in making that deeper commitment to return as the thing I did wrong, you know, wasn't that bad. If I'm not trying to strengthen myself much, it wasn't that bad to begin with. So he's really redefining, maybe not that bad. He's giving a definition of what he did, and the definition is, it's not that, it was bad, but not that bad. Right? And if I do any more, you know, it's not related to what I did before, you know, so then it can mess up in that. And now he's not on guard, and that's the worst thing that can happen. So we're finished with this part. Next week, we will learn on Tuesday and Wednesday night. Tomorrow night. I still have two drushes for Rosh Hashanah.
And not Monday's
after the fast. You're not going to be eating until 8:15. So next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So we'll get a little bit more in before Yom Kippur. Shkaya.
Yeah. Thank you.